Philippians chapter number 2, we'll be back there again tonight. We'll just preach what the Lord wants till He's done, and then if we don't get done, we'll just pick it up another time. Amen. Philippians, the second chapter, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You have done, Lord, in the service thus far, how that You have ministered and helped and encouraged, and the different ones, dear Lord, in whatever way, publicly, verbally, privately, dear Lord, has given You praise. There's folk here tonight that hadn't said a word, that has honored You and worshiped You in their heart tonight. No doubt about it. Thank You for meeting with us tonight. Lord, we want You to be big around here. We want You to be real. And Lord, we want to make much of You, because if we'll make much of You, Lord, You'll help us. I know You will. And Lord, we need help. If there's ever a day Your people needs help, it's in this day in which we live. Lord, if there's ever been a day when enormous amount of things are trying to steal our joy, and Lord, get us a cold in our heart, and Lord, get us complacent and get us carnal, Lord, it's today. But Lord, we can retain and maintain, Lord, spirituality in this hour if we're willing to devote some attention to it. If we're willing, Lord, to obey the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to lead us. Lord, we can be a spiritual people, Father, even in the midst of a world that's wicked and ungodly. Father, help me now for the next little bit as we endeavor to, dear God, preach Your precious Word. Speak to our hearts, and we'll give You the glory and we'll give You the praise for what You do. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for our sakes we pray. Amen. I'm interested, as I pointed out this morning, we began the message this morning. We didn't get very far, although I thought we did get a lot accomplished this morning, or Jesus did. But we didn't really get far in the verses before us this morning. So we want to pick up again with them tonight. In verse number 12, the Bible uses the term "work out." Note that word, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And then in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in." Note in verse 12 the term "work out," and then in verse number 13 the term "work in." The work out is what we do. The work in is what God does. The truth here is that we're to work out what God works in. Amen. And God won't work it out. God will work it in. You can't work it in. You can't work it in, and God won't work it out. But God will work it in, and God expects us individually to work it out. In other words, I can't do His part, and He won't do mine. If I'll do what I can, God will do what I can't. He's that kind of God. Amen? But I'm preaching this message on working out what God works in. And I'll not try to labor much in the introduction, and we've already preached that. You'll just have to get a tape and refresh your mind. In fact, I encourage you to do that if the Lord wants you to do that and leads your heart to do that. But working out your own salvation, fear and trembling, of course, just simply put, Paul is not saying we're working for salvation, that we're working to get it, working to keep it, working to have it. None of that is implied here. What he's talking about is that what God puts in you, God expects you to cultivate that. God expects you to work that and to get out of that all that's available for you. We first of all pointed out this morning, this will help even further clarify what we're saying. We first pointed out this morning, number one was the illustrations of this work. The illustrations of this work. Behind the word work is that there is three word pictures that illustrates what's implied here. What Paul had in mind when he said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And the first illustration was that of a math problem. When you look at a math problem, it doesn't look like much. But when you begin to work it out, when you begin to take it as far as you can go with it, and the word for that is simplify. When you break it down, I used an algebra term this morning. When you look at that little problem, it's just very small and doesn't look like much. But oh, when you start, if you know how, if you start getting out and developing and breaking it down and simplifying and taking it as far as you can take it, that's what Paul had in mind. Getting that salvation that God's put in you and taking it as far as you can take it. Amen. Keep breaking it down and simplifying it. You know what? I thought about this today when I found out what that meant when they break down the math problem to bringing it to its ultimate end where you can't go no further with it. When I found out that meant to simplify, then the opposite of something simple is something complicated. Amen. When you look at that problem and by itself, you're talking about something complicated. You can't even tell the answer of it. You don't even know what it is. Amen. It's only until you simplify it. Amen. A lot of people stays away from a spiritual life because they want to stay simple. But actually, you're being complicated. Amen. You're being complicated. But anyway, the second illustration for that behind the word work out your own salvation, fear and trembling was not only that of a math problem, but that of a field or a farm. God gives that to you. It's got potential of growing a great harvest. But it will not grow a great harvest, though the potential's there, unless you plant it, unless you plow it, unless you work the field. If you'll work the field according to the law of sowing and reaping, you will get out of it a whole lot more than you put in it. That's the kind of God we've got. And then the third illustration is like working a mine. Working a mine, amen? When you're digging it out, amen, and you're bringing it out, you're bringing it to the surface, what's down there, it was there before you got here, amen? God put it there in creation, whether it be gold or whatever, God put it there in creation, but you know what? People will dig and they'll mine and they'll work. Why? They're after it. They're wanting to dig it out. They don't mind the dirt. They're looking for the treasure. They don't care if they have to go through a mountain of dirt to get to a good vein of gold or whatever they're after. Amen. They know it's going to be worth it. They know it's going to be well worth it. Amen. I know what Brother Ivan said this morning when he left. He said, you know, they don't really just dig anywhere. He said, they take core samples. Amen. They do some sampling. Amen. So they kind of got a good idea of what's down there before they ever start digging. Amen. I tell you, when you get saved, amen, you get under good preaching and get around the saints of God, you may not know everything and you may not know all the details and all the doctrines and you may not be able to teach a Sunday school class and you may not be able to preach at that time or whatever. I want to tell you what, I believe God will let some samples, amen, get in your heart to where you want to get a shovel, praise God, where you want to get a spiritual backhoe and start digging, amen, for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Yeah, praise God. That's good. Amen. And you know what I thought about earlier? While Brother Craddock was testifying, I thought about if you were to be there at one of those mines, and I mean day after day after day, week after week, month after month, sometimes year after year, they just keep hauling it out. I mean, they just keep hauling it out. I mean, it looks like where in the world? And they might even ask them, where is all that coming from? And you know what they'd probably say? Hey,
There's more. Where'd that come from? Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I've been saved 28 years. Amen. Coming up soon to start 29 here in January. I want to tell you what, I've been mining it out. I've been preaching it out. I've been studying it out. I've been shouting it out. I'm telling you, and you think, preacher, how long is it going to last? I tell you, hey, there's a whole lot more. Where'd that come from? I've not skimmed the surface of what's available in salvation. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Some act like they've done got it all. Some act like they've done seen it all. Some act like they've done had it all. And that, well, preacher, we've done had it all. Heard it all, seen it all, sung it all. And so all we're going to do now is endure to the end. Amen. Live miserably from here to death till we die. Hey, don't get close to me. Because whatever you got might be contagious. Amen. I don't want none of that on me. Amen. I believe according to that Bible. Listen, you're not going to mine it all out here in this life. I'll tell you how big it is. Oh gosh, help us. Amen. I'll tell you how big salvation is if you mine it out with a dedicated, devoted life. Amen. From the day you get saved till the day you die, you will not hardly even skim the surface of what's available. I'll tell you how big it is, Brother Silas. God, it's when we die, we're not going to cease to be. God's going to give us, my friend, a new body. Thank God we're going to a new world, my friend, that's without sin. And you know what we're going to be doing over there? Hallelujah. We're going to keep digging. We're going to keep shouting about what's in salvation. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Because what's in salvation is as big as God is. Well, anyway, I got to hurry. I got to get off that. So there's illustrations of the work. And then number two, I want to talk about the obligation of the work. Now, you may not shout on this one. The Bible said in verse number 12, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, my beloved." Now he just got through dealing with Jesus and his example to us, and then he turns from Christ being our example to start dealing with Christians based on our responsibility. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always," oh, here's a word, "obeyed." Obey. "You have obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," and went straight from talking about obedience to talking about working at your salvation, fear and trembling. The point I'm trying to make here is, or God is trying to make here, and that is, it is our obligation. God is not going to do the digging for us. God is not going to do the work for us. He worked it in. All that it took to purchase salvation, God did that. Amen. Everything involved in performing salvation, God did that. Now I'm going to tell you, my friend, bringing it to the surface, and amen. That's what God wants in our life. That's what God wants in you and our church. God wants you to bring what He puts on the inside. God wants you to bring it to view. That's what they do in the mines. That's what they do in the fields. That's what they do. Amen. With that math problem, they're just bringing what cannot be seen, what's inside, bring it to outside, bring it to the surface. Amen. But the obligation of the work is found in the word obedience. It's our obligation. It's our responsibility to obey God. You want to dig it? Listen, it's not complicated. It's not complicated to mine out the treasures God's put in you. It's not complicated to dig out the blessings God has put in you. It's not complicated. It's in obedience. You know, we want to be... Listen, I know this is a contradiction, but we're wanting to be spiritual without obeying God. We're wanting to, my friend, go to church and shout it out and jump pews and have a spell, amen, and not obey God. It don't happen. That's emotionalism. You got people, my friend, that cuts a shine and they're not obeying God. That's emotionalism. That's not spirituality. But obedience is our obligation. This work out your own salvation. God is telling us to do it. And watch this right here. Now we're not working to get saved. I've uncovered that. We're not working to get saved, keep being saved, or nothing. Amen. We're working it out.
bringing it to the surface, enjoying the benefits of it. Now, I want to mention three areas about this obedience quickly, and I've got to hurry. Number one, I noticed in verse number 12 that it's an independent obedience. It's an independent obedience. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have obeyed, watch this, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. It's an independent obedience in that you don't have to have a preacher around to obey God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. There was a time I thought that was necessary. I thought that was a requirement. I thought that was the 11th commandment of the Bible. Amen. I thought I had to be there. I thought I had to keep my hand and thumb on everybody's life. Amen. And be God's spiritual high sheriff. Amen. But I found out it was killing me. Amen. And that crowd that I was trying to help be spiritual, they was getting more carnal and it was killing me, and that was a mess. Amen. Finally, I come to the conclusion. I said, God, I'm not going to let them kill me. I'm not going to let a church kill me. I'm going to enjoy God. I'm going to enjoy being saved. I'm going to enjoy preaching. And my friend, if they don't do nothing with it, then that's their business. But there's independent obedience. He said, you've obeyed when I was around. And he said, you obeyed when I wasn't around. Well, that'll help a church. Amen. That'll help a church. To obey God, whether you're at church or whether you're at work, whether you're around a preacher or not. Amen. Doesn't matter. Amen. A lot of Christians have, my friend, learned to act a certain way when they're around certain people. You notice that? But then when they're not around certain people, and that may be a parent, that may be the preacher, it might be somebody else in church or whatever, when they're not around that person, then guess what? They talk different. They use words they wouldn't dare stand up in church and say. Hey, let me let you in on something. You ought not to let a word come out your mouth outside the church that you wouldn't dare stand up in the testimony and say inside the church. Amen. I have very little confidence in people. My friend's got a filthy mouth. I don't care if they claim salvation or not. I don't have much confidence. I don't have much confidence in a cusser. I just don't have it. Amen. I just don't have it. Amen. I don't have a whole lot of confidence because I know what God did for me when He saved me. The other day I was hipping a fella at my house, put an air conditioner unit in, and we was trying to lift that thing off of my truck. And I picked that thing up, and for some odd reason or another, when I was picking up, he wasn't picking up. And, long story short, that thing fell on my fingers. And I'm talking about heavy. That thing's heavy. That thing fell on my fingers. And I mean, you don't have time to stop and say, okay, now what am I going to say? Who's around? Wait just a minute. Wait a minute, pain. Hold on. Let me see who's watching. No. I mean, brother, just that quick, I jerked it out. Oh, glory to God! Amen. You know what he said? He said, oh, preacher, you can say them other words. I won't tell nobody. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I've been saved 28 years. I had a filthy mouth before I got saved. And I said, not once has one ever even slipped out. I said, I'll tell you why. Because God saved me inside. He saved me good. Amen. And my cusser got saved. Amen. I mean, listen, if you'll program yourself and allow the Spirit of God to help you, it's just as easy to jerk your finger out and say, glory to God. Amen. Or as it is to say some other bad word. See, I didn't have to repent what I said. How the abundance of the heart and mouth speaketh. Brother, you saw firsthand that. Didn't.
Yeah, but that
far
flew glory.
Amen. He helped me the other day put an alternator on that little car. You know, in the little car, the motor's turned in there sideways, and you can't even look at it hardly. And that alternator's on the back. Anyway, Brother Sellers helping me, you know, we was all in a bind. I was on the top, he was down underneath, and a whole lot of prayer. We was trying to get that crazy thing out, and that hot wire dangling around in under there. Amen. And all of a sudden the fire got to flying with my hands down in there. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, I didn't think, oh, well, I need to say the right word, Brother Salvage ran. And I just immediately, glory to God. Amen.
Amen. That's right. Out of abundance of the heart, that's me. Well, anyway, I'm talking about independent obedience. And independent obedience. Paul was giving commendation of this church that they had a 24/7. They had an obedience, my friend. Didn't matter who was around. Didn't matter who was watching. They had an obedience unto God. Amen. I want these young people to know, brother, church is not a location. Church is a life. Hello, Tokyo. Amen. Church is not a location, friend. If it's a location, you can turn it on, turn it off. Amen. If it's a location, my friend, it depends on where you're at, how you live. Church is not a location. Church is alive. Amen. 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 That's right. Whether anybody's looking, whether you're in public, whether you're in private, whether it's night, whether, it, my friend, it's at home, or whether Tyler's in Iraq, or whether you're in Sneeble or Thornhill or wherever, it don't matter. My friend, church is 24/7. Amen. How many lives that? How many lives that? Amen. How many lives that? Amen. Hello, I don't want to get sidetracked right here. I'm going to tell you how many lives that. They listen to music in your car that you know we wouldn't dare allow to be sung in this building. Amen. That's right. Amen. Go places you knew we wouldn't take our youth group on a youth activity. Do things you know good and well that I wouldn't go along with. Amen? Or that Jesus wouldn't be pleased with. You know what that is? That's turning it on and off. Turning it on and off. Go to church, act one way, leave there, and go and whatever else. Amen? Amen? I don't have no confidence in that. I didn't say you're not saved. I just said I don't have no confidence in that. Amen? Was Jesus, when He was here, was He Jesus on Monday and not on Tuesday? Was he just Jesus in the temple, but not, my friend, on the Sea of Galilee? No, everywhere He went, He's Jesus. And last time I studied it out, being a Christian means you're following Christ and you're trying to be Christ-like. So if Jesus was Jesus every day, all day, then why not being a Christian be an every day, all day opportunity? Well, I knew y'all wouldn't shout much on that. Amen. Paul's telling the Christians there, you need to learn to stand on your own two feet. Amen. Don't build a dependence upon them, on anybody. You're not to have your Christian life dependent on anybody. Because what will happen if you're dependent on somebody, something happened to that somebody, then there goes your faith. There goes your confidence. Amen. I told Amber Ian yesterday, and my wife sitting back here, she knows I'm telling the truth. As best I know in my heart, I mean it. I told Amber and Ian, when I was counseling with them, I told them, I said, I know people, my friend, that have turned their faith on and off depending on people. And I was trying to counsel them about, you know, there'll be times that one of them will be spiritual, maybe the other may not be. But the one that is spiritual is not supposed to dip their colors, my friend, to get to where the other one is. And I used the illustration of Adam and Eve. Eve sinned against God. That put that pressure on Adam to have to make a choice. My friend, either stay right with God or get on her level. Amen? Are you listening? And I told him, I said, I believe with all my heart that if my wife went haywire and crazy and went out in the deep end, you know, or left me or whatever, I said, if I know my heart, I'll stay with God. If my wife put the ultimatum to me tonight, preacher, it's Jesus or me, I'd say, adios. I believe I'd do it. I believe I'm that determined. Would I like it? Would I enjoy it? No, sir. But I believe that my love for Jesus ought to be superior to my love for family or friends or anybody. That's what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 14. I got to hurry. But any independent spirit. But then number two is to be an invariable obedience. Not only an independent obedience, but an invariable obedience. Notice the two statements in verse 12. Ye have, and but now. Do you notice that? How many still with me tonight? Amen. Notice what it says. He says, ye have obeyed
or you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So it's an invariable. In other words, there's no variations. Amen. There's too many variations to the Christians now. Amen. Instead of consistency, instead of just being invariable, my friend, we're too shaky, too fickle. Amen. But Paul said, "You have, and but now much more." Paul said, "You not changed." If anything, which brings me to my third point on that, it's an increasing obedience. He said, in fact, if anything, you've got more strong about it. He said, not only do you obey God in my presence only, but now, watch this, much more in my absence. Much more in my absence. In other words, your obedience got stronger. Your commitment to God got stronger. You wanted to please God no matter what, amen. Oh, we need that. We need that. But listen, friend, I'm telling you, we're facing a dilemma. Not just here, but I'm talking about in churches in general. We're facing a dilemma. And here it is. There's not much coming on to take the place of the older ones to keep the church going. Are y'all listening to the preacher tonight? I mean, listen, a lot of them I know that influenced my life. Some of them's already dead and gone. Some of them's, my friend, their physical condition is terrible. You know, they're not able to stand there and preach anymore. They're having to resign and so forth and so on. And I'm telling you, I know preachers right now, I could name three that's ready to step aside, but there's nobody to turn the church over to. Are you listening? I mean, I got a call some time ago, not long ago, about a recommendation. Preacher, do you know anybody? Can you recommend us somebody? I said, let me think about it. And I mean, I studied on it. And I called him back and I said, look, I not only cannot think of anybody. I said, I talked to Brother Buster Mullins, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most godly men I know, and he couldn't even think of nobody. Brother, we're headed, listen, I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, but I'm just telling you, we're missing it with the upcoming generation. We're missing it. They're so career minded, or some of them's not even career minded. They're planning on living on bailouts, I believe. Amen. Amen. That's right. God help us, amen. Where is the boys and girls? And thank God for the pile of young people we got, amen, here. And hear them testify and sing and raise their hands and want to live for God. But I'm going to tell you, it's not that way everywhere you go. It's not that way everywhere you go. I'm talking about an increasing obedience. You got saved. You profess you got saved. Is that growing? Is your desire to obey God growing? I don't see that in a lot of people. I don't see that in a lot of people. I can't say what Paul said about a lot of people. You've obeyed my presence, not just in my presence only, but also in my absence. Much more in my absence. Huh? You said, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. Missionaries would never be able to start a second church if they couldn't do that. You establish that church, get people rooted and grounded, and guess what? That missionary goes on and starts another work, turns that church over to a national, amen, and praise God, keeps you getting it. Amen. Amen. What's coming? Listen, where's your aspirations at? Brother Compton preaches on that, son. A tremendous message on aspirations. Where's your aspirations at? What are you aspiring to do with your life? Where's your goals? Listen, I don't know you. You know you. Can you be honest with yourself and look in the mirror and say you're growing spiritually? You ought to have your eye on your own spirituality to the point that you ought to be able to see increase, progress, advancement, or decline. You shouldn't have to wait on somebody to say, hey, how you doing spiritually? I've noticed decline. No, you ought to notice that. You ought to be the quickest one to detect decline in your life. Well, anyway, let me move on. Thirdly, not only the illustration of the work, obligation of the work, but number three, the inspiration of the work. What is it that should inspire us to work this salvation out? Look at it. Boy, it's good. He comes right out of verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling
for. He's fixing to give us a reason. He's fixing to give us the motive. He's fixing to give us what should inspire us to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now I know there's more preaching there than I can get out. But can I just point out two things quickly that serve as inspirations for us to work? The preacher's not supposed to inspire you. Well, I've tried. And I will continue to try. I'm going to try to preach. Try to preach it. Try to live it. Try to encourage you. Try to pray. But I want to tell you, I can't inspire you. It's got to be a divine work. For it is God that worketh in you. And I noticed two things in this verse that lifts out and caught my attention about what it is that should inspire the work. And I'll give them to you to go back and preach them. Number one, God's performance. And then number two, God's pleasure. Those two things right there ought to inspire you. Those things. If you ever wondered why young people are not really interested in really a deep walk with God? I mean, they're satisfied being saved and going to heaven when they die, and that's about it. You ever wonder why? You know what I think it is? After looking at this passage, I think they just really don't think there's nothing much in it. Why waste your time digging around and mining it out when there ain't nothing there? You're kidding yourself. But yet they'll go dig around in the world, and I promise you there's nothing there. Amen. But watch this. God's performance. Notice what Paul said. What should inspire that work in after your salvation, fear, and trembling is, number one, God's performance. For it is God which worketh in you. Notice that. I like this right here. This caught my attention, Brother Silas. It didn't say worked. It didn't put an ED on it. It's got an ETH on it. Worketh. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what is it that should inspire me to want to work out myself and work out what God has worked in? It's because it was God that did the work. It was God that worked it in me and still is working in me. Oh, Paul thought a lot about that continual work. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? God's performance, amen? This is in the present tense, and it is progressive. You remember when God worked in you? God's trying to work two or three things in you. Go back before you got saved. The first thing He worked in you was conviction. Now, it took God to do that. It took God to bring you to a place where you realize you're guilty of sin. Put you under Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. I mean, nobody gets saved apart from conviction. Amen. You won't listen. But He worked in, let me just cover this quickly. God works in you in conviction before salvation. Which brings you to the point of conversion. God works in you not only conviction, He works in you conversion. And then after salvation, guess what He's working in us? He's working in us conformity. You say, preacher, what is it God is wanting out of my life? He's wanting to conform in you the image of His Son, Jesus. In fact, Romans 8 tells us we've been predestined to that. That don't have a thing to do with salvation. Predestination is not a destiny issue. It's not a destiny subject. Are you listening? Far as heaven or hell. Predestination, every time it's used in the Word of God, is always talking to God's people. Always talking to God's people. And we've been predestined, according to Romans 8, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Thank God for that. When you get saved, God puts an unalterable, unchangeable, unstoppable decree on you that not even He can change His mind about, that when He's done with you, you will be in the likeness of the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that.
Amen.
But it's God's performance. Worketh. You say, preacher, what does that word mean? Worketh. It means to be active.
Let me preach right here a minute. I know what time it is. Let me preach right here just a minute.
Worketh means to be active. A lot of people claim to be saved, but I want to ask the $1 million question. Where is the activity of God at in their life? Amen. You, listen, God can't be active, my friend, without leaving some evidence. Look in creation, the handiwork of God. My friend, you listen. But anyway, listen. Oh, my soul. To be active. Where's the activity of God at in people's lives? Do you have to take me back 20 years ago to when a day that you got saved? Do you have to take me back, you know, to show me some of the activity of God? Would you have to take me back? How long? Let me just ask this. How long would you have to take me back? How far would you have to take me back? How many calendars would you have to break out to find some of the activity of God in your life? If I know anything about that word, worketh, my friends, in the present tense, with the proof. It's in progression. It's ongoing. My friend, that tells me that I can see that. I should be able to see, Brother Carroll, the activity of God in my life last week. This week. Amen. He's working on me. Oh, we ought to fire that song off. I knew it, I would. Amen. He's still working on me. Amen. To make me what I ought to be. Where's the activity of God? People claim to be saved all over Hawkins County. You can't even hardly knock on the door without them telling you they're saved. Do you go to church? No. Amen. Do you read your Bible? No. Are you living in sin? You don't even have to ask that. It's evident. But yet they'll tell you they're saved. I want to tell you, people that are saved have the activity of God in them. God is working in them. That word worketh, my friend, means to be active. Watch this. Come on now. Means to be efficient. He's not trying to do something. He's efficient at it. Let me give you another definition. It means to be effectual. Y'all ready for this one? Are you ready? It means to be fervent. A good definition for fervent is red hot. Hey man, you got God in you? Hey, listen, I'm talking about, I know saved people can get in a mess with God and get crossed up with God and get cold and get distant. But I want to tell you, friend, and you wonder where in the world God is in our life, but you're not going to stay like that. Amen. Peter got away from God and cussed and denied that he knew the Lord. He didn't stay like that. Amen. He didn't stay like that. Oh, listen, we could point out people that got all messed up with God. We could talk about John Mark that left Paul and went off and said, I'm going home. No, he didn't stay like that. Paul, at the end of his ministry, said, bring John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. I'm telling you, we can all get messed up. Listen, there's no promises on you. If you let your flesh go, I tell you, you'll be in a ditch, my friend, before tomorrow. You'll be, my friend, Lord knows where, before tomorrow. Anything you've ever done, you can do again. Anything anybody else has done, you can do. That prodigal never thought he'd be where he wound up where he was, in the hog pen of sin. Amen? Peter never would have thought he'd have cursed and denied the Lord. David never thought he'd have committed a murder, amen, and committed adultery with Bathsheba. I'll tell you, but he did. And I'd sure hate for somebody to break out the catalog on me. I'd sure hate for somebody to break out my biography, amen, and amen, my history about me. Oh, there's been times I've been messed up. It's a wonder if God had just, my friend, just done me, cut me off and threw me away. But here's the thing, Brother Freshie, I didn't stay that way. Oh, there's been times I've gotten cold. I mean, so cold, it was pitiful. Are you listening? I'm talking about as a preacher, Brother Jeremy. Get cold on God. Prayer life, pathetic. Reading of the Word of God, pathetic. My desire for God, pathetic. But I didn't stay that way. Why? Because God worketh. You may be wondering, how in the world did I get in this shape? How did I get this cold? How did I get like this? I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Or whatever the case is. And my friend, you may be on a church pew. It might be riding down the road. It might be when you pillage your head. That sweet God of heaven, amen, might pull up close to you and begin to speak to you, amen. Begin to haunt your soul. Begin to remind you. Hallelujah. Reminds you of what it was like when you was right with God. Miss Donna, can I use you just a second? Miss Donna got out of the will of God for a few years. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass her. But you know what she told me, Brother Jeremy? Now, this ought to be a testimony to anybody in this church that's even thinking about getting out of the will of God, even thinking about it. She said, "Preacher, there wasn't a day went by that I didn't think about when I was right with God at RBT. Hey, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, listen. Oh, there ain't nothing worse than that. Being haunted. Oh, to think about back. Maybe it could have been a few days, few weeks, few months, or whatever the case is. You remember back when you had the power of God on you. You remember back when the preacher, my friend, would ask for testimony. My friend, the Holy Ghost would be jumping up and down inside you. Amen. I mean, you was full. You was full. Amen. You could hear songs like we heard tonight. Jesus never fails, and you couldn't stand it. There's worship coming out of you. And you remember those days. He works in you in conviction. He works in you in conversion. He works in you with conformity. Hallelujah. You know what I tell young people? Little ones. You know what I tell them? They look at me about it strange. I said, guess what? You don't never have to get another whipping the rest of your life. What? Well, that's good news. All you have to do is conform. All you got to do is obey. All you got to do, amen, is just obey.
Amen.
Amen. You don't get, you don't get a whipping just be mama getting exercise over the arm. Hold still. I got to do my P90X, amen. No. They're beating on you because you're, amen, full of the devil, amen, and rebellious and disobedient. You don't ever have to get another whipping. And guess what? That's true spiritually, Brother Carol. It's if we'll line up with God and be obedient with God and deny the flesh and say yes to God. My friend, He'll never chasten us. He'll love on us and lead us to a deeper walk with God. God's performance inspires us. God's pleasure inspires us. Look what it says. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You know what that is basically saying? Now I'm not going to get done tonight, so don't pass that on. God works in you the willingness and the desire to do His pleasure. Now what about a God like that? I mean, He knew before He ever saved me what He was getting. And He didn't get the deal. I got the deal. But you know, Brother Chuck, it disobliges me. I can't hardly stand it to know that God saved me knowing it's going to require a lot of time and attention to work on me. I mean, He's got perfect knowledge. He knew what a failure. He knew what a blunder I'd be. He knew the many times I'd trip and fumble, stumble and fumble the ball. He knew. And He saved me anyhow. Thank God. He knew if I was left to myself, I'd never have a desire to serve Him. He knew if I was left to myself, I'd never honor Him. I'd never call on His name. That's why He puts in me, in His work, He puts in me the desire. He puts in me the willingness. Well, like that's Rogersville. Where's that at? Thousands of people claim to be saved. Where is that work at? God works in you, young people, to put a desire in you not to be carnal, not to be worldly, not to be fleshly, but put a desire in you to do His good pleasure.
Amen. I say glory. Amen. I feel like making up a song right there. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's times you know you preach. Then there's times you know good and well you're in the river and you know God is saying something. I believe God's saying something to us. Amen. God works in us, both the will. You young people, God is wanting to work on your will. God's wanting to put willpower in you. God's wanting to put willingness in you. You know what I feel like preaching a lot of times? I mean, when I'm preaching, I feel like I'm getting a hold of young people and trying to just, come on. You know, like a tug of war. Trying to pull them. Come on. You know the world ain't going to give you nothing. You know the world's not going to satisfy you. You know the world. I'm just pulling. Trying to get pulled. Don't have to be that way. Don't have to be that way. You saved? That's a general question to all of us. You saved? This time you just stand on your own two feet. Got to work in you a desire. Got to work in you the willingness. Did you know to do something without a desire will produce boredom? To do something without a desire will produce mechanical actions? You remember the statistic I gave you just a few weeks ago? 88% of young people raised in our evangelical churches, highly churched, right in our evangelical churches like you're sitting in tonight. Are you listening? When they hit 18 years old, will leave church never to return. Are you listening? You know why young people are that wasn't by a religious group. That was the Barna group. There's a lot of polling in our country. But I want to tell you, dear friend, listen. You know why a lot of young people are not interested in staying with the stuff and sticking with it, raising their family in the house of God, but rather they're in. Listen, as soon as they get out from under mom and daddy's wing and thumb, they're gone. I tell you why it is. They don't have no desire to serve God. They don't have no desire. Their desire's out there. And I'm not talking about all the young people that's in other churches either. I'm talking about young people in this church. You be honest, your desire's not in here. Your desire's out there. That's right. You know that's where your heart is. Your heart is on popularity a whole lot more than it is in doing His good pleasure. Amen. All right, now watch this. I've got to hurry. At least let me finish this point. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're like me, if your flesh is like mine, we need the devil preached out of us. That's what we need. Amen. My old stinking flesh is so corrupt, Brother Jeremy, and wicked. Don't y'all think for a second. Listen, I don't want y'all to think I'm in sin and all that, but I want you to know my flesh is not saved. My flesh is ungodly. My flesh is weak. My flesh is wicked, and I hate it. I hate it, amen. Paul did too. Who shall deliver me from the body of this vile death? Amen. Paul said that in me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul said the flesh profiteth nothing. Oh, are you listening to me? You give your flesh an inch and it'll become your ruler. You give your flesh any attention and I'm going to tell you it'll take you a great distance in a short period of time. Amen. I don't do hard preaching all the time. And I don't want to hear it all the time. But I've got to have it some. Because I'm going to tell you what, friend. As that one lady came in here, remember she came in here and she said, "Preacher, I want to be limping when I go to the car." I ain't never had that said to boy. Never had that request before. "Preacher, I want to," in other words, "Preacher, I want it tight. And you know what she went on to say? She said, "Preacher, I need it tight. I need it tough. I need it rough. I want it. Amen. I want to be limping when I go to the car." Because here's what she said. She said, "I need this old flesh beat down." Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let me finish right here. Amen. God's good pleasure is His goal. Watch this right here. His satisfaction and His pleasure. He's working in you a desire and a willingness to do His pleasure. In other words, you're going to do what's pleasing Him. But watch this. Come here. The Lord showed me this today. How about how to fail? Where's this good pleasure being worked at? In us. It's not all that good pleasure, God getting us to live a certain life where all that good pleasure is all up yonder. It's in here. Now here's the point God showed me today. If God can please Himself, He can please me. Nobody can please God but by themselves and of themselves. Amen? If you please God, you're going to have to get on His turf. You're going to have to get in His realm, which is faith. So that, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You've got to get in the realm of faith. Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. He walked with God. Had this testimony, pleased God. But here's the thing, young people. God can please you. You said, listen, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm preaching? You don't have to have this stinking world to be pleased. In fact, come on, young people. Come on in here. Just help me right here a minute. Give me 10 names. No, let's do that. Let's do better than that. Give me 5 names. Kind of feel like Abraham when he was talking to God about going and getting Lot out. No, I tell you what. Let's just quit beating around the bush. Give me one name of a young person that's got their hands full of this world that's pleased. I'm waiting. I'd like to have a name. I'd like to go get their autograph. Because they'll be the first human being I've ever met, brother, that's got their hands full of the world and their heart full of the world and their mind full of the world and their life full of the world that's happy. Most of that crowd, my friend, is strung out on dope with no hope. Amen. Now I preach this. Have I not preached like this for years? And we still got young people that won't listen. This world, listen, if you'll listen, you'll not waste a lot of your life. When Brother Jeremy testified, Brother Brian, and I'm just naming a few. There's a bunch in here that could fit in that. Your Brother Ivan, Brother Silas, Brother Klepper, and several more in here. When they testify, you ought to listen to them. I've never heard one of these men, stand up and say, well, I tell you what, back when I was lost, I was sorry, no count, wicked, and ungodly, but man, was I happy. Man, I was happy. I had a time. I was on dope and drugs and everything else, but man, I was happy. Is there one in the building? Young people, listen. It's a lie. There's never been a drug or an alcoholic drink, my friend, that can be put on the table in your hand that'll satisfy you. Never! Oh, it might give you a good feeling for a moment, but you're going to wake up tomorrow. It may put you in a la-la condition where you don't think about nothing and everything feels good. But I want to tell you that high is going to turn into a low. They're lying when they call it Miller High Life. It's a Miller Low Life. They're lying when they call it Budweiser. It ain't, it's Bud Dumber. Amen? Everybody that does it is stupid. Why do they do it? They're trying to be pleased. There's a vacuum in them. There's something in them that says, I've got to have something to satisfy them. And there's a vacuum in there. They'll pour this in it. They'll put that in it. And they'll think, man, if I had this cell phone, or man, if I had that computer, or if I had this boyfriend, or if I had that girlfriend, or man, oh, if I had this reputation.
Yeah, young people, go ahead. Don't listen to the preacher. Don't listen to the parents. Don't listen to these other testimonies. Spend your life going after the wind. And then see if you find any happiness. But if you'll let us help you, if you'll let us help you, see, we can't force you, but if you'll let us help you, we can head you off the path that's dead end. And we can tell you, we've been there, we've done that, it's empty life, it's vanity. Hey, if you won't listen to this preacher, if you won't listen to these men and some of these women, if you won't listen to some of these, my friend, when they testify, I thought I was done, but I ain't done. Are you listening? Oh, listen to Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes at the end of his life. As a biography of his life. The basic summary of the book is, I've seen it all, done it all, had it all. But it's vanity. Comes to the end of the book, chapter 12, it starts out appealing to young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know what he was saying? Don't do as I did. Don't live as I lived. I've seen it all. I had it all. I've done it all. Now listen, I can make that general statement. But the Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon. You know what? She'd heard about him, Miss Stacy. And you know what she said? Brother Craig, after seeing all of his servants and everything he had, you know what she said? The half was never told me. And she was a queen herself. I'm talking about a man that had it all. And he come to the end of his life and said a word, and he spoke a word to young people and said, don't do like I did. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my bad choices. Do the will of God. Serve God. And you'll never look at your grandchildren and say, oh, I messed up. Don't be like that young boy I met here in town. That said he was saved and said he was called to preach when he was in high school. Never knew nothing about drinking and never knew nothing about none of that junk. And he thought, I don't have no testimony. I don't have no testimony because I can't stand up and say, I used to be a drunk. Or I can't stand up and say, I used to be on dope and I've done this and that and the other. And so he's telling me this. I'm not getting it hearsay. I'm listening to the man himself, the young boy. Brother Craig, you know who I'm talking about. And he said, preacher, I thought that I was going to just unplug and unhook from God. Go out here for a short period of time. Get me a testimony where I can say, wow, look what I did. Look what I was. But the devil didn't finish telling him the other story. And the other part of that story is, it's been years. And he ain't back yet. Is that where he's at now? Sitting in jail right now, tonight. Are you listening? Hey, young people, I preach to you all the time. It don't matter what text I get on, I'll get on young people. Same way. I couldn't even preach on giving without getting on young people, hardly. But you remember Ricky Massengale? You remember Brother Craig? Sitting right downstairs in my Sunday school class when I used to teach young people, when I first come up here. I've taught him. I believe tonight what I believed then ain't changed. And I taught him. He sat on these pews. I preached to him every Sunday night, Wednesday night. I preached to him. I taught him. I preached to him and taught him and preached to him and taught him. But guess where he's at? And I got a handwritten letter, or where he was. He's not now, but where he was in prison. And he wrote me a letter. I mean, handwritten, front and back, Brother Jeremy. Pages of handwritten letter from inside of a jail cell. And you know what the basic summary was of the whole thing? I wish I'd have listened. You think I preach? Do you think I'd give my life to preach? My friend, to just build a reputation and just get up here and energize my lungs and go through a little sermonette? Or you listen? No. I'm interested in keeping you out of the hog pit of sin. I don't want you to have a testimony like I've got and others have got. I want you to be able to stand up, no matter how old, and say, look, I've been raised in church. Preacher Ratcliffe preached the hat off of me. And Mom and Daddy's teamed up with him. Amen, Miss McCarrick. And I want to stand and give testimony. I don't know what it's like to say a curse word. I don't know what it's like to smoke and dip and chew and drink and fornicate and all that other stuff. But I'll preach my heart out. And they'll do it anyway. Mamas will say, don't do that. And they'll do it anyway. Amen. I don't know how I got on all that. But I do know this. Young people, whether you ever listen to this preacher or your parents or anybody that will ever tell you this, God will work in you. The Bible says that God will work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You will not only please Him, but He will please you. If you listen, I believe it was Brother Banks that stated this here in the church when he's preaching here years ago. He said, you live as you please, you'll never be pleased with how you live. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You tonight, God, for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for helping me tonight. Lord, I pray You'll take the message and the feeble effort on my part. Lord, I preach my heart out today. Lord, I love people and I love these young people and I want to see them right with God and full of the Holy Ghost and on fire for Jesus. I don't want to lose a one of them, Lord. Lord, I want these mamas and daddies, God, to get on fire for God. Lord, help us, Jesus, to know that we can work out what You've worked in. Lord, it's our obligation, and Lord, You've inspired us by the fact that You've worked in us. Lord, You work in us in our will, and You've worked in us with our desire to do, to perform, God, Your good pleasure. Lord, when we're right with God, we're not about pleasing self. We're not about pleasing the world, but when we're right with You, we're interested in pleasing You. Lord, I believe tonight that You just put that in my heart. That we as a church here tonight, we can tell where we are spiritually by what and whom we're trying to please. Oh God. Lord, Enoch pleased You in the days before the flood. Enoch walked with God when the whole human race pretty much was wicked and ungodly. And He pleased You, and You pleased Him. Father, I pray You'll take the message tonight. Use it for Your glory. Save sinners and stir the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.